that music's got a little swag to it. It's like a little old school gospel piano there. I love it. So, well, it is good to be with you this morning. And once again, Happy New Year. Happy New Year over in Blend and in Amped and in Bearden and Roane County. Glad you guys are with us this morning. It's good to be in a new year, especially coming out of the year that we've been in, isn't it? It's like, hey, maybe fresh beginnings. And New Year's is a chance to kind of begin to think about the New Year's resolutions, right? And the New Year's resolutions that last all 36 seconds, and then we move on from them. But as I was thinking about New Year's resolutions and patterns in life that we want to establish, I went to my friend Google, and I looked up, what are some of the top New Year's resolutions? And so I bet you can guess what number one is. Number one that was almost on all the different lists I saw was get healthier / like weight loss kind of thing. A couple other, and this is not in any particular order, but one of the other primary ones was save money and get out of debt. Another one was, and I think a lot of people would be agreeing to this one, is travel more. Well, that would be great, wouldn't it? Like, hey, if we can actually leave, that would be awesome. Some people said they want to get a new job. Other people said they want to build healthier relationships. Other people said they want to break bad habits in their life. And so there's these goals, these resolutions. And as I was thinking about like that first one, that get healthier, lose weight kind of goal that a lot of people have, I've thought about that in my own life over the years. And for me, health is not a defined enough goal for me to go after. Because health is not a big enough motivator for me to actually build the rhythms into my life to actually do something. Does that make sense? Health, okay, you gotta get the cardio in, so you gotta get up early and go running. I'll run for about 3 days, and then I'm like, I'm healthy enough. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's good enough. So for me, if health is not a specific enough goal, I need something more specific. So for me, if I want to, I need something to train for. Does that make sense? And so I need like a 5K. And the reason why I say 5K, I don't say marathon. I'm not one of those guys, because when you look back at history, like marathon was the announcement. A guy ran to announce the victory of a battle, and he ran like 26 miles, and then he fell over dead. So I don't know who thought it was a great idea to go, hey, we should turn that into a race. I'm not about that. Give me a 5K, 3 miles, I can do that. Let me train for something specific. Or let me train towards a number on a scale. Or let me train. I need something specific to go after. Health as a goal is not good enough for me. You see, the truth is, when we look at our spiritual lives too, God has goals for us spiritually, because God desires for us to grow spiritually. That's just true. God doesn't want us just to stay where we're at. He wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. Paul writes it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He writes, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Paul's going, yeah, when a baby's born, right? A baby needs milk. When a baby comes into this world, you don't give it a T-bone steak, right? You just can't do that. You give a baby milk because that's what a baby needs, but as a baby grows, the goal is to be able to start feeding it more and better, good, solid food. And Paul's going, listen, Corinthian church, you should be further along right now, but you're still drinking milk. God wants you to progress, to grow. And what God desires us, what is the goal of spiritual growth? Well, to state it bluntly, the goal is Christ-likeness. The goal is to be like Jesus. But can I be honest with you? When I say, hey, the goal of the spiritual life is Christ-likeness, I look at that and I go, I'm out. Anyone else feel that way? Is that just me? I'm out. Why? Because I know me, and I don't think I'm going to ever be like Jesus. I know the selfishness in my heart. I know the sin that's in my life. I know all those things. So if the goal is Christ-likeness, I don't know if I'm ever going to be there. I don't know if that's going to be me. So I'm thankful that the scriptures give us a little bit more concrete example of what it looks like to be like Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to be. It'll be up on the screen there. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, and God gives us the goal of what it means to look like to be like Jesus, the goal of spiritual growth. It says this in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, I love this passage because I read it, and when I look at the themes that kind of show up in this passage, I don't know if there's any of us that would look at the themes of this passage and go, nah, I'm good, I don't want any more of that in my life. I mean, look at the themes. You see things like genuine love, and I don't know if anyone, I know for me, I want to love more genuinely. I look at joy and patience and hope and generosity and humility and having a serving heart. And I look at those things and I go, I want more of that in my life. I want that to be a goal of what my life will look more like. Because if I'm honest with you, I know Dave Grun talked about this last week, but as he was saying it, it connected with me. He said last week, he goes, when 2020 hit, so to speak, he goes, I wasn't ready. And as I looked at my life, I wasn't ready either. And honestly, I probably thought I was a little bit more further along in my spiritual walk and my spiritual maturity than I actually was, because when all of a sudden we were cooped up in our house, and I love me some family time, but gosh, that was a lot of family time. You know what I'm saying? And I saw things in my heart and in my life that I went, I don't like that. I wasn't patient with my kids. And I wasn't exactly loving all the time with my spouse. In fact, what actually was revealed in my heart was worry, anxiety. And I don't know if you felt this, but a lot of this last year, just kind of on edge all the time. Something that may normally not have bothered me very much, all of a sudden just kind of put me over the edge, because everything in my life was filled with just a level of anxiety. And I look at that and I go, man, I don't want that in my life. I look at Romans 12 and I go, that's where I want to be. And I don't know about you, but we are not promised that 2021 is going to be better than 2020. We just don't know that. But I do know one thing. I don't want to end 2021 where I am right now, spiritually. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to get to the end of 2021, and it's not about the year. It's not about what the year holds. Regardless of what the year holds, I don't want to end 2021 where I am right now. I want my life to be marked more by Jesus. I want my life to be marked more by these things that we see in Romans 12, 9 through 21 than I see in my life right now. I want to have the rhythms and practices in my life that will get me to where God wants me to go and where I really want to go. And that really leads to our big idea today, is that life-giving spiritual rhythms result in growth. Life-giving spiritual rhythms, another way to say spiritual rhythms would be this: life-giving spiritual practices, things that we can do in our lives, will result in growth. And hear me, I'm not saying at the end of 2021, hey, I'm going to be there and I'm going to stand up here and go, I did it. No. What I'm saying is I want to be at least one step, two steps closer. I want to be getting towards the goal. And I think there's a few things that we need to understand about spiritual rhythms, spiritual practices, because that's what we're going to be discussing over this next month. What are those spiritual rhythms, spiritual practices that will help move us towards this goal? But I think the first thing we need to understand is that spiritual growth is a gift from God. Spiritual growth is a gift from God. And I know that's weird to think about, because some of you are going, if spiritual growth is a gift from God, do I have to do anything at all? We're going to get there in a minute, okay? Spiritual growth is a gift. It's a gift that God allows us to grow to be more like him. That is a gift from him. Paul writes a little bit earlier in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, he writes this: "For if because of one man's trespass or one man's sin, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the," do you see it there? "The free gift of righteousness that will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." The free gift of righteousness. Righteousness, to put it another way, righteousness is really those practices that we see lived out in Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21. That's what a righteous life looks like. Someone who loves genuinely, who abhors evil, who clings to good, all of those things. That's what a righteous life looks like. And Paul writes that righteousness, that kind of righteous life, is a gift from God. You see, here's the problem, is that if we try to make ourselves grow, or if we try to make ourselves righteous apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it will lead to one of two things. It will lead to, first off, it can lead to burnout. It can lead to those people, and I'm sure we've all met them. I know I've met them in my life. People who say something like this: I used to go to church. I did that Christian thing for a while, and then it usually follows up with something like this: it didn't work for me. As if following Jesus is something to work for them. But usually that is a result of them trying to do the change on their own, and they got tired and frustrated and they didn't see the results that they wanted to see, and then they give up and they say, that didn't work for me. Or the second could be even more dangerous than somebody giving up. The second is, maybe they're a disciplined person, and maybe what happens is they actually brought about the change in their life that they wanted to see by themselves. And you know what that leads to? Is a self-righteousness. And that's what Jesus would pound the Pharisees on, of going, you are self-righteous. And a self-righteous person goes, well, I changed. Why don't you? You see, and both of those things are not what Paul's writing about as a free gift of righteousness. I love the way Richard Foster, if you've never read any of Richard Foster's stuff, he writes a book called The Celebration of Disciplines. That is a fantastic book. And so he writes in that book, he says, the will, our own desire, our own power, has the same deficiency as the law. It can only deal with externals. It is incapable of bringing about necessary transformation of the inner spirit. You see, true and lasting change comes at the heart level. You see, it's not behavior modification, it's a heart transformation, and only God can transform a human heart. And that's what we all desperately need. If we are to reach the goal of Christ-likeness, if we are to reach the goal of those themes that we see in Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21, if we are to get there, it's going to come from the inside out. It's not going to be just a behavior, try harder. It's going to be God doing his work in our lives. So that begs the question, is there anything that we do? And the answer is yes. You see, the answer is yes, because spiritual rhythms put us in a place to grow. Spiritual rhythms put us in a place to grow. While spiritual growth is a gift from God, there are rhythms and practices we can have in our lives that put us in a place of growth. Now, I want to be very clear about something from the outset when we start talking about these spiritual rhythms and spiritual practices. These spiritual rhythms, these spiritual practices are not the goal themselves. Right? So we talk about a spiritual rhythm. We talk about prayer. This is not something, it's upside down. This is not something that we go, hey, I did it, check. That must be spiritual growth. We don't talk about, well, I read my Bible today, check. Are those good things? Yeah, but they're not the goal in themselves. Think of it this way. You know those packet of like seeds, if you're going to plant a garden, you know the packet of seeds that they have at like Home Depot or Lowe's or something, and you go and you buy the packet of seeds. And inside the packet, you rip the packet open, and there's all these tiny seeds, right? You know what I'm talking about? And so if I take one of those seeds and I set it right here on this table, what will happen to that seed? You guys don't know? Nothing. Nothing's going to happen. It will sit there. In order for that seed to grow, what do you have to do? You have to take a pot, and you have to put a nutrient-rich soil in the pot, right? And you got to take that seed, and you got to shove it deep down in that pot, and then you've got to water the seed. And here's the great thing, is that there are things we can do to cause that, to prepare that seed to grow. We can get the right soil. We can water the seed. You don't want to overwater it. You don't want to underwater it. You want to give it the right amount of water. But here's the thing. Do we do actually anything to make that seed grow? All we've done is prepared the soil. We've watered it appropriately. But the forces of nature, the way that God has made nature, cause that seed to split, to crack open, and to sprout. God caused the growth. We just did some preparation work. You see, the spiritual rhythms in life is to get our lives in the ground, so to speak. You following me? That the spiritual rhythms put us in a place where God can do his transforming work in our lives. The discipline, the practice isn't the goal. The goal is of the practices is to put us in a place where God can go, I can transform that. But we need to remember something. Is that God uses spiritual rhythms to change us over time. To change us over time. Little confessional about me. I wish things in life were more one and done. I mean, if we go back to health, right? How awesome would this be if you could go to the gym, you buy a month gym membership, and you go one day, and you work out every body part that you want strong for the rest of the year, you go one day, and you're good for the rest of the year. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Or if you wanted to be like cardio in shape, you're like, hey, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna run 1 mile. And that's it. That's all I had to do over the rest of the year and everything. I was fit the rest of the year. Or even better, could you imagine if you could eat healthy for 1 day a year? I mean, we could just do all of this in 1 day. We'll go to the gym, we'll run a mile, we'll eat healthy that 1 day, and the rest of the year you could do whatever you wanted. That would be amazing. But that's just not the way it works, is it? Like, if you want to be healthy, you have to consistently, regularly, over time, show up. You have to go to the gym early in the morning. You have to put on those running shoes and pound the pavement every day. You have to intentionally choose day after day after day not to eat the chocolate cake and to eat celery instead, and nobody likes that. You have to intentionally make choices in your life. And here's the thing. You don't wake up one day and all of a sudden go, I feel fit. What happens is, as you intentionally show up every day to be healthy, over time, you start to see changes in your life as you consistently show up. You see, rhythms are regular occurrences that we do every day in our lives. Rhythms are practices and daily things we do every day in our lives. I mean, think about your rhythms of your day. You probably typically get up about the same time every day. If you're like me, as soon as you get up, your first stop, you walk over to that beautiful machine in the kitchen called the coffee pot. And that delicious bean water is what gets you going. And if you're like me, if you don't have creamer, what the problem is that coffee's no good anymore, because I like a little bit of coffee with my creamer. And then what do? You go and you get ready for your day, you go shower, whatever you do, and then you go off to work. And those are the regular rhythms that we have in our life. You see, but spiritual growth, oftentimes we want it to be a one and done thing. We treat spiritual growth as if it was we could go exercise or eat healthy 1 day a year. So oftentimes in people's lives, what does it look like? Well, I went to church that week. Do you eat just once a week? If you exercise once a week, are you going to be healthy? The answer is probably no. It's the daily showing up, each and every day showing up and putting in the work of putting yourself in a place where God can transform you over time. Here's the deal. You are not going to wake up one day. You're not going to read your Bible. You're not going to go there and go, oh, it says to let love be genuine, be patient, and all these things. You don't read that. You don't just pray one time and wake up the next day and you're like, hey, I am patient now. It's like the plant. You can put the seed in the soil and you can water it and you can do everything right. You don't come back the next day after you do that and all of a sudden you have a full-grown plant. You have to daily maintain that plant to make sure it's in the right temperature, to make sure you're not overwatering it, make sure you're not underwatering it. And over time, all of a sudden, you see the plant start to grow. The same is true with spiritual growth. As we create rhythms in our lives, we will begin to see changes in our hearts. Not just behavior modification, but actually heart transformation, where God does his work over time. Why? Because God is about process. You look all throughout Scripture, God is about process. He's about change over time. Kind of like watching, if you have kids, or it's kind of like watching your kids grow. I'm with my kids every day. And I don't wake up one morning and go, holy smokes, you grew overnight. But my parents and my in-laws, they like to come from San Diego and they like to come out and visit us every few months. And they don't see the kids every day. And so all of a sudden they come after a few months and they look at my kids and they go, oh, wow, you got taller. You've changed. And I'm going, they did. But it's over time. As we consistently show up, that God transforms us and grows us. As we think about the goal that we see in Romans chapter 12, in verses 9 through 21, we look at the themes of love, patience, hope, joy. When we look at things like humility, being present with other people, I know in my life, I'm not there. But I don't know about you, but I want to do the things here and now. And I'm inviting you on a journey with me to do the things here and now that when we get to the end of 2021, that we're not going to be the same people that are sitting in this room right now, that we will be. You're not going to see it overnight, but as we go over time, that God develops patience, that God develops joy and hope and love in your life, that you will not be the same at the end of 2021 when we intentionally do the practices that put us in a place where God can move and work. The practices that we're going to look at over this next month is, what does it look like in our lives to have prayer as a conversation? What would it look like for us to choose to intentionally go without? How do we live relationally connected? How do we learn to know and understand truth? And once again, these practices are not the goal. The goal is to practice these things so that we can be put in a place where God can transform us. So what is the next step? So how do we begin? Because I know some of you are going, hey, great, we don't have to do those things until we actually talk about them. No. But what's the practical next step that I'm going to invite you into is this. Join in our 21 days of prayer. Join in. And I know some of you who are thinking right now, I've already missed a few days. I don't know if I'm going to do that. Jump in. And I know some of you who already have the book. Can I just tell you something? If you're anything like me, you're probably going to miss a day or two or three. And what will happen? Because we have a very real enemy that does not want you to grow, that does not want you to look any more like Jesus. In fact, he would love if you just tried to do this stuff on your own. He would love to have another person say, I tried that Christian thing and it didn't work for me. That's what he would love to see. We have a very real enemy that wants to do that. And so you miss a day or two or three, and all of a sudden you have this whisper in your ear, you can't even do 21 days. How do you expect to do a lifetime? Can I just tell you something? That is not God. That's an enemy who's trying to discourage you. When we have a heavenly Father who's going, hey, just jump back in. Just talk to me. I'm still here. I haven't changed. I'm still right next to you. I'm still with you. So if you miss a day or two or whatever, do not feel like you have to go back and try to make everything up. Just jump into that current day. Friends, there's things that we can do practically in our lives if we are intentional about it, that we can put ourselves in a place so that when we get to the end of 2021, we're not going to be the same. We're going to look a little bit more like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Because I know for me, when I look at life and I look at, hey, the goal is Christ-likeness, I go, yeah, but what does that mean? Thank you for passages that Paul writes that gives us a little bit clearer of a picture of what the goal actually is. That we can be people who are more loving, who are more hopeful, who have joy, who are patient. So God, I pray that we as a church, that we would intentionally put ourselves in places, that we would create those spiritual rhythms, not as a goal for ourselves, but growth is the goal. And those are the practices that will put us in a place where, God, you will grow us, that you will transform us. And God, when we get frustrated along the journey that it's not going as fast as we want, God, would you give us the courage to be patient and to keep showing up? So God, our heart's desire is to be more like you. So Father, would you give us the intentionality to put these things into practice, starting even today? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.